Skipton Talks with Mortgage Strategy. In this podcast, Skipton Building Society's Interim CEO Home Financing, Charlotte Harrison, is joined by Anisha Beveridge, Head of Research, Hamptons, as they discuss hot topics in the buy-to-let market.
I'm Rebecca Coman, Editor of Mortgage Strategy, and I'm joined today by Charlotte Harrison, Interim Chief Executive of Home Financing at Skipton Building Society, and Anisha Beveridge, Head of Research at Hamptons. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today. So we're going to discuss the buy-to-let market. A lot to talk about. There's no denying it's facing a lot of challenges at the moment. Anisha, I'll come to you first just to ask what you feel are the main contributors to the issues in the buy-to-let market at the moment.
Well, I think the buy-to-let market has certainly been in a state of flux for the last couple of years. We've seen a number of changes that are impacting different types of landlords, actually. So most recently, we're starting to feel the pain from this new higher interest rate world that we're sort of experiencing at the moment. And of course, that immediately impacts existing landlords who are coming to the end of a fixed rate deal, and any landlords that are thinking of entering the sector who will require some extra sort of financing to make that purchase. But I think you can go back a little bit further than that, really. So sort of 2016 time was when some of the tax and regulatory changes started winding up. We saw the introduction of a 3% stamp duty surcharge on secondhand, second home purchases. And I think probably one of the biggest changes was the changes to Section 24, which removes a landlord's ability to offset their mortgage interest before paying tax. And that's really what's hit a lot of more highly leveraged buy-to-let investors in the market. And then I think just a little bit more broadly, we've seen just wider uncertainty. Government are talking about this. We've heard Sadiq Khan continually call for rent controls, and we've seen those introduced in Scotland. And there's a green paper going through Parliament to impose tighter restrictions and regulations for buy-to-let properties too. So we're starting to sort of see the culmination of all those things come together in 2023.
That is definitely a lot for the market to take on in the last few years. Charlotte, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
No, I think Anisha's given a glorious picture of some of the challenges that that landlords are facing. And I think that's the broader question, isn't it, around what we've talked about in recent months is predominantly what you've seen, and certainly in the headlines, et cetera, is around this higher interest rate environment. And do we see that almost that's the end for landlords' question? And actually, you can see that there's been this culmination of build-up, hasn't there, of legislation, regulatory change, and cost implications. And it's the building culmination of that will lead some landlords, and certainly not all, but some landlords, to question, is that still the right thing for them? And having to ensure that actually that there's a bit more of a move, in my opinion, to almost like this professional landlord versus what we've perhaps had in the past in terms of bias across the sector.
Mm-hmm. I'm picking up on that, Charlotte, just, you know, you're saying move towards more professionalism. Have you seen kind of the dinner party, so-called dinner party landlords exiting? And do you predict that the professional side of the market will continue to grow?
So I certainly think we'll see more in terms of we're calling it professional landlords, more of your investor landlords continue to grow. We've seen that even with the mortgage interest changes coming into fore, where we've seen a move certainly in the purchase market, and whether or not we start to see more of that in the remortgage market into a limited company buy-to-let. And so we have seen that kind of more gradual shift in recent years, I would say. I think for more of your dinner party accidental landlords, there's a question as to whether that still stacks up. But certainly from what I've seen as it stands today, mass exodus from the market, no, we've not seen that. And actually, when you look in the market, demand is still very much strong and certainly outstripping supply. Properties that do come to market are typically not around for long and tend to be let quite quickly. Tenant performance as well, and tenant arrears, that, you know, we're not seeing a massive shift upwards in that. We're in a cost of living crisis that's affecting homeowners, it affects tenants, but we're not seeing that play through. And actually, if that continues, then it paints a more positive picture, a more positive outlook. And I suppose the question might be for landlords then is, dependent on where they are in their cycle of investment property and investment portfolio, we can't discount the fact that some of those assets have increased by 30% in value over the last 5 years, and over that past 5 years or whatever time period that might be, that those investment properties have served a healthy yield. So actually, do you see people say, well, we'll ride out the storm, and therefore this mass exodus that we're questioning and considering perhaps doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As Charlotte said, Anisha, a lot of the figures in the background is positive yields for landlords still available. Do you find that national media headlines that suggest that there is that mass exodus, as Charlotte mentioned, do you find that harmful?
I think it certainly weighs on sentiment, doesn't it? But I think most landlords will always look at their own sums. So generally, we've seen more landlords sell than buy new buy-to-let properties since around 2017 time. So there's been a net loss to the private rented sector since that was the year really that those tax changes came in. And last year, landlords made up around 15% of sellers across Great Britain. And actually, perhaps contrary to expectations, we haven't seen that figure rise very much in the wake of rising mortgage rates. We've been analysing some of Skipton's data recently, and we know that the large proportion of landlords, particularly those the longer that they've been owned a property and sort of been in the game, if you like, they have very small loan to value mortgages. So the average landlord who is remortgaging probably only has a loan to value of around 41%. So they likely bought their property at least 10 years ago. They've reaped the benefits from significant rental growth and house price growth through that period. It's actually newer investors who maximize their leverage who will be most at risk from this. So we sort of kind of characterize that sort of at-risk group, if you like, to make up around 8% of all investors. So they're quite a small chunk of all landlords. But on the flip side of that, that still equates to 450,000 rented homes where landlords could be potentially falling into making a loss. And then that obviously puts them at risk of selling if they can't inject some more equity into those properties. So there are certainly landlords who will start feeling the pinch from all of this. But it's certainly not the mainstream, not the majority of landlords, which I think is positive news.
Mm-hmm.
What role do you feel that both lenders and brokers can play in this environment to help landlords navigate the many challenges they face
at present?
Yeah, so, I'll talk on probably broker and from a lender perspective. So, I mean, understandably, the one of the main things we can do from a broker perspective is make sure that for those that, because remembering, not everybody's is due to mature and switch on to new rates this year, and as we've seen, since September, October last year to date, rates have shifted downwards. Actually, in the past few weeks, they've ticked back up. So also remembering that we're at a moment in time, and that whilst we have projections of where interest rates may go over the next few months and next few years, even recent weeks have shown that market can still be quite volatile. So I think really what's really important is that for brokers that are supporting their the landlords and buy-to-let portfolios, around making sure that you're contacting those. It's always the standard things, isn't it? Contacting the customers up front, making sure that you're shopping around, making sure you get access to the best deals, giving them the advice they're required, and really supporting on that. And actually, because we know that we are in a higher interest rate environment than we've historically seen, the ability for switching becomes equally important as well. And so so many brokers will be reassessing affordability, ICR testing in terms of can they switch lenders for a better deal or not? Where does affordability calculators or top slicing rules or anything like that that can support and help just to give people the best chance of accessing the cheapest deals that they can? And from a lender's perspective, I think one of the things that we saw post mini budget, when interest rates increased quite significantly in a relatively short space of time, is that lenders were really quick to reassess what that meant for residential and buy-to-let customers in terms of what does that look like for stress testing on the higher interest rate environment. And what we did see is that many lenders increased that in response to the new interest rate environment. It's equally important that if that shifts to the positive, that we can look at unwinding some of that. And I know that I've seen lenders do so in recent months. Skipton as a lender, I know that we've done that recently as well. So it's important that you continually reassess the environment and marketplace to make sure that you're providing the benefit you can do if it's there to be had. So I think the more forearmed with that future outlook, the better. And trying to be proactive in response to some of those market changes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, some great advice. Anisha, at Hamptons, from your perspective, how can each market, part of the market, I should say, work together to help landlords at the moment?
Well, I think a lot of it does come down to guidance. As we know, and we've already sort of discussed, I think generally the sector is shifting to become more professional. So that means that the majority of landlords now really know what they're doing. They should know how to do their sums, and it's probably their full-time job. So they probably know the regulations inside and out. But I think from a broker perspective, a lot of landlords are going to be facing quite new challenges this year. And I think for me, one of the biggest tips for brokers is help landlords with scenario planning. So gone are the days where a lot of landlords will just be tipping up and hoping to get the best interest rate, mortgage rate deal that they can get. It's now about assessing what the options are. So is it better to pay down debt? And just looking at things like that, I think, can make quite a big difference. So we know that from a lot of the analysis that we've run, it's low yielding landlords who are more likely to be your dinner party landlords, who are most at risk from all of this. And it's these types of people who will possibly find, if they're coming towards the end of a fixed rate deal, will benefit by injecting some more cash into those properties in order to pass the stress testing. It's really the stress testing that's a big barrier today. So I agree with Charlotte. It's really important for brokers to look around and shop, not just for the best rate, but to look at ways to get those slightly softer stress tests for their clients too.
So that's some great advice for each sector of the market. But I just want to ask, how can lenders and brokers work together in terms of communication? Charlotte, do you think at the moment?
Yeah, so I mean, I think lenders and brokers typically do work quite well together in terms of being more united in terms of the market and trying to affect positive change. I think to Anisha's point around providing guidance and understanding the scenario planning, which is a really interesting point, actually, you know, because we're not in crystal ball era at all. And so having that scenario planning, even for longer term end dates or actually future focus, is actually really, really important. I think the more that lenders can do to educate brokers on some of those more nuanced points that perhaps historically we've not been as close to when it's been a slightly more benign environment, can be really helpful. And being really open and transparent around when when policy changes may come in, or when there may be significant market changes that will be affecting their clients. So more of that sharing of information, and we saw some of this last year where we were in a rapidly rising rate environment, and yet the base rate almost wasn't tracking that alongside it until later in the year, and actually being able to support brokers with that messaging so they can go back to clients and explain exactly why and what's happening and what you can almost set in terms of expectation setting was really, really powerful. So the more of that we can do, the more helpful it'll be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in terms of all of the rules that have been brought in by the government over the last few years that have impacted the buy-to-let sector, including Section 24, which you mentioned earlier, Nisha, that changed the rules for landlords in terms of allowing them to offset mortgage interest. Do you think there's any likelihood that that will be reversed, or if the government will intervene in the sector in any other way?
I think it's unlikely that they would backtrack on a policy. So it's such a major policy, actually, that's been introduced over the last couple of years, but you really can't rule anything out. I think the government are actually quite acutely aware of the pressure that some landlords are under now from what we've been hearing. And they are certainly looking at ways to help limit and just kind of soften the blow for some of those landlords who are under pressure. Section 24 was a major change. And I think if they were to reverse it, it would significantly help particularly higher rate tax paying landlords. And I think the backdrop has fundamentally changed as well. It was introduced at a time when interest rates were very low, not as low as they were last year, but it was introduced in a low interest rate environment. And that has fundamentally changed. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a consideration for them, but I think it's still unlikely that it will be reversed. Rather, I think we'll probably continue to see a little bit more softer regulation around sort of the renter reform bill on the way that landlords operate. There are also rumblings that they might increase the stamp duty surcharge in second homes in this week's budget. So that's just another one to consider. But even if they do, if it only goes up 1 or 2%, I doubt it will have too much of an impact really on landlord behaviour.
Okay. If there's one thing you could change about the market currently, Charlotte, what would it be?
Great and tricky question. I think one of the things that hearing what we've discussed today and some of the challenges that landlords do face, we've talked a lot about the vast amount of change, regulatory change over the past few years and the impact that that's had on the sector. And there's still rumblings ongoing today around what changes may come. And I think actually bringing about clarity for landlords would be extremely helpful. One of the things that we've been talking about at Skipton Building Society is lobbying the government for that change in terms of definitive elements around the EPC requirements on buy-to-let properties. And that's just one example where the sooner that clarity is brought about and the legislation's brought in or not, we hope it is, but we also hope the support for landlords in making those changes, the more clarity there is for those landlords. So I think actually generally the sentiment around the vast amount of change and impact, being clear on plans on any future reforms is really, really important.
Absolutely. I think stability, whatever it is very important in all areas of the market, of the economy. Anisha, any final thoughts on what would help the market currently?
I completely agree with Charlotte there. I think clarity is super important. Landlords are being buffeted from left, right and centre at the moment. And whilst a lot of those are willing and able to ride it out, a lot of other people will be concerned about what the future holds, and they do want that clarity. I think one other thing that I would possibly ask more of the government to look at really is to have the understanding that not everyone wants to buy a home. The rental sector serves a really important purpose. People love the flexibility of renting, and it's really important for the wider economy and particularly the labour market for people to have that freedom of movement and to be able to move homes at a drop of a hat with sort of transaction costs so high for buying. It's not sort of possible for everyone to own their home. So I think just sort of recognizing the importance of the rental market and the role that landlords play within that, both at a professional sort of build to rent scale level, all the way down to amateur landlords, it's a very important part of our economy.
Absolutely. I think there'll always be a demand for rental properties, and so therefore there'll always be a need for landlords. I think that's a great place for us to finish up today. Thank you so much, ladies, for your time and such an interesting chat.
Thank you.
Skipton Talks with Mortgage Strategy, discussing the latest news and views in the mortgage market.